Welcome here to Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora on your airwaves and always on superpoweredpop.com. You can download the app by going to superpoweredpop.podbean.com or straight to the website superpoweredpop.com. Pick it up there and also on iTunes. On today's show, it's a very special broadcast with someone that will be joining us for the CNY Pop Festival. He is no stranger to the show. He's been on here a few times, and I'm happy to have him back and very excited about making history with the CNY Pop Festival with this gentleman. And that is none other than Jeff Perrazzo, who is here with me today to discuss his history, how he got into everything, some of the moments, obviously, from Power Rangers, but to stretch well beyond that into the work that he's done over the years, what he's looking forward to doing, what his mission is moving forward, and, of course, the festival itself for the CNY Pop Festival. With all that being said, I welcome Jeff onto the show today. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeff, I want to go back to the beginning for you because I think it's important with anybody on the show to tell their story. So when you look at the opportunity that you had to get into film, bring me all the way back to the beginning and how things got going, how things got started, how your story had kind of that first step, so to speak.
First step. I'll try to be as efficient as possible here. I was just having fun taking drama classes in high school and realized I was getting my best grades in that. And so after I graduated, I just started doing private coaching at the acting workshops in downtown Toronto and, paid my dues. I'm still paying my dues, but back then it was really paying your dues, you know? Just started working, getting better at my craft, and everything just started kind of unfolding.
And when you go back to those moments, like you said, you were just doing well in those classes and things started to be better there for you. Did you have a love? Did you have an interest and a desire as a little kid, or is it something that kind of grew as you saw what you were good at and saw what you were comfortable with?
I think it's an accumulation of things. I definitely grew into it as something I wanted to pursue. I feel like when I was a little kid, I never thought of wanting to grow up and being an actor, you know? But I was always fascinated by really good movies. I think when I was a kid, I wanted to grow up to be a race car driver, in all honesty. I was hoping to drive around Porsches for a living.
And when you have, like you said, you know, to grow up that way and be a race car driver and have those thoughts, you know, as little kids, we all kind of have different things that are on our minds and what we want to do. Do you still feel an affinity and a connection to that? Is there a hope that because you get to play in this world of make-believe and create characters or bring characters to life, is there a hope that you get that phone call one day saying, hey, we need a race car driver. Would you like to play the character?
I would love for that to happen. In all honesty, that won't happen, you know? Unless I make that creation myself and start it myself. I was lucky enough through my 20s, I had a few Porsches, so I got to race them with the Porsche Club. So I got my little taste of the checkered flag, you know what I mean, whenever I had the opportunities. And I was in town to be able to do it. And so that was always really fun. Now I just try to stay away from all those cars because that's just a money pit, you know. It just takes so much time.
And I mean, but still having that connection and that love for it, like you say, you try to stay away, but do you kind of get into, I mean, I have a cousin who loves, you know, finding, they go to different shows and they'll bid on different cars. And if there's a good price, they'll bring one home. He'll, you know, put it up, in the garage and start picking it apart piece by piece and putting it back together. Do you have any desire for that? Do you have any friends that have that on the side, or is it just kind of like, yeah, no, I'm staying away?
Well, I had a few friends like that, but like I said, I used to pick up these old vintage cars from the States, actually, and bring them back to Canada, and I would restore them in my garage, and then, you know, own them for a little while, and then move them on to other people. I would always love to do that. I just tried to focus on minimizing how much I'm putting out for these things. I started doing that to motorcycles. So that's currently I'm building a motorcycle, right? A second bike right now. I've just tried to, you know, switch resources and make it more efficient for me. I like living like a gypsy. So having all these things in different places, it just gets overwhelming. And by having like a motorcycle, it actually like satisfies my taste for that kind of thing, while keeping everything very small. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking here with Jeff Perrazzo, and somebody that we're excited to have to CNY Pop Festival coming up on August 12th, 2018, which is a Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. here in Syracuse, New York at the F Shed at the Regional Market on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse. Jeff, to look at, like you just said, you like to live life like a gypsy. Go a little bit deeper into why and to what that life kind of looks like for you from day to day.
Oh, man. Well, in day-to-day these days, I feel like I have a lot of things. Me and my girlfriend live together. We've accumulated a bunch of things. But you know what? Ever since back in the day when I did Power Rangers, just living out of a suitcase in a hotel, you know, I kind of really got comfortable with just not having a lot of things and just being able to pack up and move to different places and be in different cities, you know, when I wanted to. And that kind of just kept me along. That kept me trying to live like that. Which is why it's a beautiful thing when you get to travel to conventions, because I get to see bits of the world that I wouldn't normally see, and it fulfills that, you know, that drifting gypsy style nomad life where I get to just move around and I'm always in transit and your eyes are always seeing new things. I love it. If I could do this, if I can continue doing this for as long as I can, I'd be a very happy man.
And what's it like with your girlfriend when you're living this style of, you know, you like to see new things and new places and have new experiences? What's it like for her, and what's kind of, you know, her connection to it? Is she, you know, somebody who likes to kind of do that with you? Is she more of, she's the homebody and you're the one that likes to kind of fly by night and then come back? I mean, how is the ebb and flow of a relationship with somebody like yourself who likes to constantly see the world and see things that you haven't seen before?
Oh, it's exciting. I know she wants to travel with me, and we've went a few places and we've still planned future things, but she's way more responsible and focused than I am. So, you know, she likes to sit in one place and plan it out. And with me being on the opposite side of that, it's this beautiful balance that we have where we fit, you know, and it keeps the energy really just nice and balanced, you know. But every time I say, well, like, you know, let's pack up, let's take off for 2 months, let's go traveling around and just, you know, let's check out, say, Southeast Asia, for example, or let's buy a van and travel across North America and just, you know, we'll figure out what we're doing along the way. I can see the panic in her eyes.
What made you that way? What, I mean, did you have that in your family? Was there travel growing up? Was there that experience of having parents that were like, hey, get in the car, Jeff, we're just going to go somewhere and see where the world takes us? Or, I mean, is this something that you kind of created on your own?
I don't know. Like, accumulation of things. My grandmother was the traveler of our family. So she would always be on these long trips, even until when she got into old age. She was always traveling for longer stretches of time than most, I feel most older people are doing. Between that and just, I've always, ever since I was a young kid, I always felt the best when I was away. And I think you always get that, you know. Travelers always say it's your best self that you're giving the world when you're away, because you're not thinking of all the worries of home. And I don't know if that's part of it, but ever since I was younger, just the feeling when I'm away and my eyes are experiencing new things, always, like, you know, it got me really, I felt so alive, so I always just try to continue to do that. I mean, thank God I've been lucky enough to have the opportunities to, like, even, you know, when I went and did Power Rangers, it was in New Zealand, and I got to see a whole new place for such a long period of time. I love living that way. I couldn't imagine not being able to do that.
So when you have that, what's a normal...
Well, for everyone listening, you know, it's for everyone listening, too. Like, you have the opportunity, you know, it's always a good idea to take that chance, because, you know, what I've learned is this: experience over any material, you know, object that you think can make you happy. Experience is definitely the one that you'll have with you for the long run.
So what, for you, as I was saying, is a typical Toronto day? I mean, what, for a guy that likes to travel and experience all different things, what are you doing when your home in Toronto? Do you have a place that's a getaway for you? Are you just kind of a simpleton when you're back at home and you're just doing what you got to do and you know, going out to a restaurant and being low key? What's Toronto life for you?
Toronto life has become very low key for me. I just try to keep it simple, especially through the winters, and minimal. I love shooting with my drone and with my camera gear, so I try to get on little excursions and just create little projects for myself. That way I can feel like I'm just, I'm still creating things. Sitting on the couch and reading scripts, crossing my fingers that I can, book the next project.
And to have that, all the projects that are coming up, speaking here with Jeff Perrazzo, who is going to be coming to the CNY Pop Festival on Sunday, August 12th, 2018, here in Syracuse, New York. Jeff, to look at what the next project is and having those opportunities from, 2002 with Queer as Folk, the TV series, all the way up to where we are, most recently with Molly's Game in 2017. I want to go back to Queer as Folk, Adventure Incorporated, Sugar, stuff like that, before Power Rangers came along. What do you remember of those times? What do you take away from those times?
Oh, those were fun. They were like the fun, the fun young times of just getting excited, trying to be a professional in the industry in Toronto, getting the opportunity to work with these really cool people, and just getting paid a paycheck to be on the TV show, or in a movie like in Sugar's case. Just these, those exciting times where it's like it's all fresh and you're not jaded, and everything looked up, and you have just a world of opportunity in front of you. You can't really replace those moments. As you get, as you go through the industry and the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, you take on more, you get older. It gets harder to look at those things that way,
When you look back on those moments and on those days, like you said, and how exciting they were to be a part of it, what did that phone call for you when Queer as Folk said, hey, we want you to be a part of this thing, it's a TV series, back in 2002, why don't you, come out here, show us what you got. When you book a gig and you get that opportunity, bring me back to that day that we're now talking about 16 years ago when you got that opportunity.
Man. Actually, I remember that phone call because I auditioned for a bigger part. But this was like my first year of like trying to act, and I finally had an agent after looking for 2 years. And anyway, they offered me a smaller part. So I remember being excited, but then I asked, did I book the part that I went in for? And they're like, yeah, no. They gave that to somebody else. You're going to get another part. It's smaller. So I already had questions right off the bat, but I was super excited. I don't know if I was like overly excited, but I was happy to finally, take that first step into this industry and getting seen and feeling like, I can do this. Because for a long time, you're always, depending on who you have in life, you have a lot of people, asking you why you would even want to do something like that, I don't know. It's been fun, and that moment was fun, and that kind of spiraled off. I feel like that was a pretty good year for me, if I remember, all those years ago.
And to go back to that time, like you said, you felt like that was a pretty good year for you back in 2002. When you said, I'm looking for an agent, I was trying to find somebody that would fit, and it took you some time to do that. When somebody's on the outside looking in saying, I feel like I could do this thing. I feel like I can act. I can take on roles. I can be believable. I love to be a storyteller. How difficult is it to get in, and how's the road? Because what I've kind of taken from it and realized from it, and I got to do some extra work on The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and listen to the stories of what you have to do for this, and you got to get this and that. How is there ever a road of saying, okay, well, if you want to be an actor, then you go and you do this extra work, you do it for so long that you can apply for the Screen Actors Guild, you go from there? Or is there another route, or are there 500 routes to get to where you get to from your experience? Because for hearing other people's stories and being on the set of that movie, it felt like there was no direct route of saying, well, these are the steps you take to become an actor.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely no proper route to gaining any success. You could be walking down the street and you can find success that way, or you could be working hard in a small theater in a small town for years and working hard that way. The one thing I can say is that if you want to act, it doesn't matter if you're getting paid or not, you need to get better. So if that means, you know, doing community theater for free to hone your skills, to taking private workshops just to work on your craft, that's probably the base, I would say, where you have to start, you know? The beauty with today is with YouTube and all these social media channels is you can create your own content and gain notoriety that way and get better in front of a camera just by doing these things that weren't even available back when I was doing it. I mean, they were, but in a completely different way. It's just, and you can get yourself out there now. You just have to just do it and forget the noise. You know, I have a lot of people who come up to me and ask me that when I do conventions, and it's always the same thing. You know, it's just, if you have a community theater, join it, audition for it, get better, take classes. Classes aren't expensive. You know, you just have to, you have to work for it. And so a lot of people get into this wanting, seeking fame. And it's fine if that's what gets you interested in it, but you soon realize that the struggle is real. So the fame part of it gets thrown out the window as quickly as it comes. And what you end up having is a love for the craft. And that's what motivates you, not, you know, hoping that your picture is going to be on, you know, a website or in a magazine. That's the most important thing. But that takes, the first thing is just, you know, take classes. Take classes and do local theater. Hone that love for the craft.
And what can you say about
it? That's what I think, yeah.
Well, on your connection to local theater, what was it like for you? How did you hone your craft? How did you hone your skills? If you were involved in local theater, what projects stand out to you? When you look at your own story, going off of the advice you just gave, what was your story like in that respect?
Well, my story was a lot of showcases through acting workshops. A few local I did like three Shakespeare plays, his B-side plays that were smaller. A Few Good Men was like the peak. We performed that play at the University of Toronto Theatre, huge, massive theatre. And then I got really busy with, the film acting and that kind of stopped, but it was so many showcases of, doing plays, through the local acting workshops, which is why I say it's good to do the acting workshops, because it gives you opportunities to do these things.
And in telling your story, Jeff Perazzo here, to be a part of what you were part of back then to where you stand today, obviously we'll take some time with Power Rangers here, but most recently, 12 Monkeys, the TV series, Molly's Game, and Molly's Game, a movie that came out with Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba and Kevin Costner and written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. Bring me into your recent experiences to fast forward and maybe spend some time on Molly's Game and just what it's like to be on the set, what your experiences were there, who did you speak to, who did you get to spend some time with, what was life like on the set of a movie that obviously was featuring a lot of heavy hitters in that respect.
That was super exciting. It's a funny story. I was actually shooting. I was on my last day of 12 Monkeys, and I got a call on my break saying that they hired me for the Aaron Sorkin film. And that's how I found out, which I thought was really cool, because I don't think that's ever happened to me before, you know, booking a gig while on a gig. But to work with Aaron Sorkin was, I was really lucky. You don't get many of those opportunities in Toronto. They bring all the big guys in, and they did on this film. But to be a part of working, you know, directly with Jessica Chastain, and my scenes were cut with Joe Keery, who's from Stranger Things fame. He's awesome. And I did all my training with Chris O'Dowd, who's just killing it. And just to be able to learn, I didn't know poker before doing this movie. I had to, like, jump in and just engulf myself, and I took training classes, all these things just for these small little moments on screen. But I got to do it all with, like, Chris O'Dowd, and then I got to play all my scenes out with Joe Keery. So it was was pretty lucky. I was pretty lucky to have you and Jessica Chastain there, the true professional. Yeah, you know, sometimes you wonder how some of these actors get to where they are, and then you see how they are in person. A lot of the times you get let down. She didn't let down. Like, that woman is a force. You know, doesn't matter the scene. She's always there to support you, no matter how you need her. It was such a fantastic thing. And to work with Aaron Sorkin, who's like an icon, you know, a living icon, was just, yeah, I got lucky. I know I got a phone call from a friend when I booked it, when he found out, because he's a huge Aaron Sorkin fan. And when we lived out in Vancouver, he forced me to watch West Wing and all these other projects that Aaron Sorkin had a hand in. And then, you know, all these years later, that was actually, 8 years later, I somehow found my way onto his project.
And when those moments, when you get that phone call, I mean, obviously we go back to 2002 and everything that happened, but what do they tell you? What does the agent say about, you know, is it, well, you know, we saw you on this, or you were a part of this, you know, do you ever get a call like, hey, 5 years ago, I saw you in something and I feel like this fits you? I mean, how do these phone calls come about in the sense of what about you made them stop and say, I think Jeff Prazo would be good for this?
Well, yeah, that I don't think I'll ever know. I've never got a phone call. It hasn't come yet. I'm waiting for it. About someone calling saying they've seen me in a project and they thought I would be great for it. I'm waiting for that opportunity. But I can say it's a funny story. I think it's funny. My agent actually text messaged me and was like, hey, Aaron Sorkin thinks you're good enough. And that was it. But that's all I needed, you know? Especially with the ebbs and flows, I feel like leading up to that, I didn't book anything in maybe almost a year, maybe. And it just felt like, oh, what am I doing? Like, where's the opportunity in this city right now? And I was thinking about heading back out to L.A., which I probably should be doing. And then that came along, and it just kind of spiraled into those two projects. But, you know, to have your agent text you and say, you know, you're good enough for Aaron Sorkin, it just puts that fire in your butt.
And when you come off of something like that, like you said, you know, it might take a while to get an opportunity. And when you finally get that call and you get to be a part of that, once Molly's Game happens and you're on the set and you're doing what you got to do and you're playing your role and whatnot, and you finish that, well, I mean, like you said, it kind of lights a fire under your butt. But, you know, where do you go from there? Because now is it kind of for you always the grind of get my film out there, keep my ear to the ground, talk to my agent, there's something going on, test for this part, go do this part, go read for this, go read for that. I mean, what happens after? Because it's a great moment and it's a huge thing for you and something to enjoy for you. And then there's, okay, well, what's the next project? So where do you go from here? And in 2018, what is Jeff doing in daily life, and what's kind of your focus of getting to the next piece, so to speak?
Well, getting to the next, I'm still waiting for that next project. I was slated to do a film that didn't end up getting complete funding for, that we were supposed to shoot in fall. And so I was a little disappointed by that, by not having that opportunity. But I'm really busy when I shoot photography, so I keep myself busy doing that in this cold city. And it looks like I'm planning to head back. Like, that's the plan. 2018 plan for me is just to be back living in LA for a while, because I put that off for a few too many years. You know, I was living out there before and we went through strikes. I decided to head back to Canada and then just stayed. I got comfortable here, but the fire still burns. So 2018 is the year. Like, I've been planning out heading out there for the past month.
And so, life for
summer, I'll be out there again.
So you said in the summer you'll be out there. I mean, what is it for you for LA? I mean, is that just you gotta be, if you're acting, is it a must? I mean, we hear about things being filmed in Vancouver and British Columbia and Toronto and Atlanta. What is it about? What's the lore of LA for you right now?
Well, it used to be about, you know, living the palm tree life, but now it's more about, it's especially in today's climate, with ethnic actors on the rise in leading parts. In all honesty, Toronto doesn't have a lot of that going on for itself. So it's tough to just make the right moves you know, and feel good about what you're doing if you're not only being given minimal opportunities. And my team out in LA is always complaining, like, why am I not out there? People need to meet you. You know, it's like it's this important time for ethnic actors to be at the forefront. So, like, it's maybe 10 years ago it was about just living that, you know, the idea of the LA life. And now it's like, well, I want to continue. And I plan to, you know, I still take it seriously. I feel like I finally just need to be there because the opportunity for me to get the best work possible is going to be out there. It's not going to be in Toronto anymore. You know, so it's just an important move. It's like moving a chess piece on the chessboard. I think the timing is right now, just with the change up in the whole industry, that to be out there would just be so beneficial. That it's worth having to pack up the life you created here to get out there.
And when you look at the current state of things, like you said, you know, ethnicity wise and the timing, just what you can say about what your takeaways are in your personal life from that and your desires and moving forward. I mean, I call me crazy, but I live in a world where I feel like everybody should have an equal opportunity. I feel like irregardless of your nationality, your ethnicity, your background, how much money you have, where you came from, where your parents came from, who you love, how you love, whatever, that to me, you should have an opportunity just like anybody else to try out for a role. And if you're the best for the role, then you're the best for the role. You could call me insane for that, but I just thought that should be a normalcy. So when it's not, and you are where you are and you're looking for opportunities, bring me into kind of your story and how you look at the world that you live in and the acting that you care about so much and how maybe things aren't what they should be, but there's a hope of maybe they can be at this point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer that correctly, but I do agree with you that we all should have an opportunity. And when it comes to acting, like we should have opportunities to audition for parts that we fit in. Now I can only speak for Toronto right now, but for example, in Toronto, it's this weird thing where they'll audition you, but they really aren't planning to book you because they're hiring someone from somewhere else who's already on a show that is easy. I've always thought of Toronto that way, or the industry here is everyone in the casting side takes the easy route, which is just to cast safe and for people that they see who just are on something currently, as opposed to going to the bigger talent pool, which is amazing in this city. We have so many good actors in this city, and everyone's fighting for parts. There's just not enough to go around. Now, like, even as an ethnic actor in a city like Toronto, where, I don't know, most of the Canadian television shows are catered to a very Canadian audience, it's tough to really even find good ethnic parts because you tend to still play stereotypes here. We're not as far along as the American industry is. I see the American industry doing really great things and opening up the door for a lot more people. But I still think Canada's behind it in that regard.
And as you move forward, and you know, if that's how you see things right now, and moving forward in your career to look for that next opportunity, do you have a project? Do you have something that you haven't gotten to do before? I know that, you know, parts come up as they do and movies come up as they do, and you don't know or can kind of foretell what will be or what opportunities will potentially be there. But is there ever anything on your mind, a passion piece, so to speak, of something that really meets your heart's desire that's maybe still out there for you? Is there anything that's on that bucket list, I guess, so to speak?
Well, there's a few projects I would love to be on, and there's a few actors I would, of course, love to work with. Personally, I've been developing two projects. One of them is we're in kind of like in the middle of the development stage. It's a horror film, actually, called Traumacon that me and Kevin Duhaney wrote, who's going to be at the show. We wrote that together with our other writing partner, and the three of us bumped heads, and we had this idea that I got from the very first convention I did in March 2014, and we just cultivated it into this this hilarious horror film called TraumaCon. That's kind of our homage to the convention world, because it's been so good to us. So I hope it sees the light of day. I hope it finishes. I don't see why it wouldn't, but it's hilarious. It's hilariously bloody and scary, I guess. I guess you could say. So I've been working hard on that. Now, that's been on the plate for the past, I guess, 3 years. Unfortunately, we had to sit on it for 6 months. Last year, we couldn't really do anything with it because some contract issues. But now that it's, you know, it became free again, it's moving full steam. So hopefully we can get that out and to tape, like, sometime at the end of 2018 would be my goal. Outside of that, I have a little documentary I'm trying to get done about a motorcycle trip, actually, across. It's like the great American road trip, but on motorcycles, from vintage motorcycles, going to locations that were important in motorcycle culture, and just documenting the journey. Hopefully, I could sort that out and get that finished, so I can get doing that. That's probably more of a passion thing for me. But I think those are the next steps I'm taking right now.
That coming from Jeff Perazzo. And Jeff, in closing here on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora, to just speak on, you know, you've been in Syracuse before. Fans have had the opportunity to come and see you. When you put up the message that you would be at CNY Pop Festival on Instagram alone, I think you hit 1,000 people in less than 24 hours. So we know the fan base is there, and it was very quick, and we know the support is there. You know, this show, CNY Pop Festival, I've helped with Comic-Cons and whatnot in the past, and this isn't a Comic-Con, and it's not a sports convention. It's a new thing. It's a new creation of saying, let's break from the norm. Let's bring a bunch of entertainers from the sports world together with a bunch of entertainers from the TV and movie shows that we love, and let's make it all one big community event where if you like movies and you like TV and you like sports, you can see it all. If you're more on one side, that's fine. If you're more on the other, or if you're right in the middle, it's meant to be a different feel. And so when I say that to you, what makes you excited about CNY Pop Festival and being in Syracuse and being part of an event that this city has never seen before?
I just enjoy coming down. So that was the first thing for me. When I had the opportunity, I was like, I get to go back to Syracuse again? Perfect. Syracuse is one of those towns. I used to always drive by Syracuse. But I never stopped there. I never had the opportunity to. And I was just blown away by how beautiful and, like, cozy. It's like this, it reminds me of, it's like a little foodie, restaurant-y, bar scene-y, little hidden treasure that I feel like, me and Kevin feel like we found, because we weren't expecting anything and we were just blown away. We were just walking streets all night. So I'm really looking forward to just being back in the town, just because it's such a great little town. And then to be able to do CNY Pop, and it's like this giant collaboration of sorts I'm getting from listening to you. I think it'll be a great time. Everyone's going to be, you're going to bring together a lot of different types of fans, and it's always fun when you get a lot of people who aren't used to each other together, because the best things always happen.
I couldn't put it better myself that way, to get a bunch of people that aren't used to being around each other together, and that's when you see the best things typically happening. So with that being said, I don't know a better note to end on with Jeff Perazzo here. And Jeff, they would kill me if I didn't say this at least in closing, is that, you know, you have many, many a Dino Thunder Power Ranger fan base, Trent Fernandez. I found that there are Instagram people that that are not you, but they're you as the Power Ranger. They are Trent Fernandez through and through. So it's a very, is it weird to go on to social media and see that a character you played is being played essentially by somebody somewhere in the world, that it's all about you all the time, but not you, the character? I mean, there's a reality to it now, kind of.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't think I'm getting more comfortable with it, but sometimes it's strange because I have a bunch of friends. Hey, I followed you. Was that you? And I'm like, no, that's not me. it happens a lot, and the funny thing is, most of them post better than me. So thank you to all of them out there. I just wish they would stop trying to like add my personal friends to certain things, because it's just weird. But I appreciate what you're doing. You keep the Trent Fernandez light burning.
How crazy is it that after all this time, I mean, Power Rangers Dino Thunder is still, I mean, do you go back to 2004, it's 2018, and the Power Ranger love, as you know, any character from any Power Ranger iteration anywhere, there's a connection to it. But with you and with Dino Thunder and being the White Ranger in that respect, there has been and continues to be an outpouring of support, and I easily saw that when you announced that you were coming to CNY Pop Festival, and I saw the likes and I saw the things that people were saying and the responses. And I believe now I'm followed too by Trent Fernandez. So it's kind of a little strange for me, but you know,
awesome.
What's that world like for you to know that, you know, once a Power Ranger, and this is not a cliche, I mean, it's true, you're always a Power Ranger.
Yeah, it's something that I've began to just truly enjoy and embrace. There was a point in time where, you know, I just wanted to be a real actor and do all just, you know, feeding my ego thing that I felt like I needed. But I didn't realize how great the fan base. I didn't realize how, you know, the mark we left on people. These are things that you don't know. You just shoot, you know. You get hired, you go, you do your job, and you leave, and you try to move on to other things. I only realized that when I went to my first convention, just how important this was. And in all honesty, it truly inspired me, you know, because you have these people who back you and believe you, and it's always nice to have someone on your side. In my case, I have thousands of Trent Fernandez, White Dino Thunder fans that come in and always, you know, keep me strong when I'm not feeling so strong, and that I owe all to them.
Yeah, coming from Jeff Razzo. Trent Fernandez, however you'd like to call him. He is Jeff Razzo on social media, so if you're looking for him, that is how you will actually find him himself. So, Jeff, as always, you know, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the times I've gotten to sit down and speak with you. I appreciate today, and I know that coming up in August, you and I will have some time up on stage to sit and hang out, and you'll be back at Syracuse, New York, in this nice place that you and Kevin Duhaney, as you said, feel like you just kind of stumbled upon and appreciate. So we look forward to having you soon.
Yeah, I look forward to getting there.
All right, man. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man, for sure. Thank you.